If you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke and chapter 1, those visiting with us today, we're continuing in a series on the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be looking this morning at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. So we'll begin reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and read through 45. And let us pray before we do so. God, we ask now that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word. Give me the words that you would have me to speak. Open the hearts of those who hear, that by your word and by your spirit, even the blind will be made to see. Those who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness will have their hearts open to see the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we all might rejoice in the salvation that you freely provide in him. And now we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Now, we often get excited about different things. And maybe think about the last thing that you really were excited about. Maybe, children, what's the last thing that you were so excited about happening? Maybe something at school. You wanted to run home and tell mom and dad. Or something happens and you want to tell your friends about it. Adults, maybe some exciting news comes from a relative. Or you learn about something in your job. Or you have a new relationship. Well, what do you want to do? Don't you want to share it? And sometimes that excitement can be so great, we can hardly keep it in. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to feel excited, to feel joyful about things. But I think the problem is the things that we are excited about, the things that we desire to tell other people about, are things that really fade over time. If you think about things that you've been excited about, are you as excited about them today as you were when you first heard them? We might say that those in the world live from excitement to excitement. And so some people want to find more excitement. Let me just find the next source of joy, the next source of excitement. But what does that tell us about the world's provision? It's fleeting, isn't it? It doesn't last. Now I'm going to ask you this, though. How excited are you about Jesus? How excited are you about Jesus? I hope you'll see that you ought to be very excited about Jesus. Because it is the blessing that Jesus brings that is not simply about happiness, but a source of deep joy. We have to understand there's a difference between being happy and being blessed. We say we're happy, we might base that on a feeling. Feelings come and go. But being blessed is based on faith. Being blessed is understanding that you can have joy even when you don't feel like it. Even when everything in your world is crashing down around you, you can be blessed because Jesus is with you. That's true joy. That's true Christian contentment. As we come to these verses in Luke chapter 1, just a reminder of where we're at. We've looked at two announcements from the angel Gabriel. He made a birth announcement to Zacharias. He told Zacharias that in his old age, and with his wife who was barren, he will have a son. You will call him John. He will go before the Messiah. He will be the forerunner. And Gabriel, after that, we're told, went to Mary and announced to her that she is going to have a son. You shall call his name Jesus. And this son will come, not through a normal means, but supernaturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the angel Gabriel, in verse 36, tells Mary that Elizabeth is in her sixth month. And so when we pick up this text in verse 39, we see now Mary arose in those days. So she's going to see Elizabeth, and she's going to go see Elizabeth when Elizabeth is about 6 months pregnant. And when we look at verse 39, it really begins with Mary arising. And if you look down at verse 56, Mary remains with her about 3 months, so she would have remained with her for the remainder of her pregnancy, and then returned to her house. So verses 39 through 56 might be seen as one inclusive story, beginning with Mary departing from her home and arriving to meet Elizabeth, and with her departing. But we're going to look this morning just at verses 39 through 45, because I don't want us to miss what is going on here. This is more than the reunion of two mothers. This is a first meeting of two sons, in a way, isn't it? Two sons who are still in the womb. Two sons, John and Jesus, who have great roles to play in God's work of redemption. But it's Jesus, as we'll see in his presence, that all this happens and all of this activity surrounds. And so as we look at these verses this morning, I want you to think about this. The presence of Jesus is the blessing that brings ultimate joy. The presence of Jesus is the blessing that brings ultimate joy. And we'll see his presence arrives with Mary. It is recognized by John and is then revealed to Elizabeth. But the presence arrives of Jesus arrives with Mary. Notice that Mary arose in those days, verse 39, and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. We're not told where this city is. We're told it's simply in the hill country of Judah. She would have traveled south. This journey probably would have been about 70 miles. Would have taken her about 3 to 4 days. But I think that she left very quickly after she received this message from Gabriel. Because in those days, she left, and we're told that she stayed there about 3 months in verse 56. And right after that, we're told in verse 57 that Elizabeth's full time came. So if we do the math, 6 months plus 3 months, we get that she showed up when Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant. And why does she go? Why does she visit? She goes for a purpose. She goes to greet Elizabeth, doesn't she? She enters the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. One commentator somewhat humorously commented that she didn't greet Zacharias because he couldn't hear her anyway. Remember, Zacharias can't hear. Remember, he has received this judgment because he did not believe the angel Gabriel. But she greets Elizabeth, her cousin. Now, her goal in going here is not to see if what God said is true. She believed God. God said Elizabeth is with child. God said she is going to be with child. She understands that is the word of God. Let it be to me. That faith that Mary had. So why is she going to see Elizabeth? I think that she is going to see Elizabeth to encourage her and to actually have her own faith encouraged in sharing this joy together. One quote I read said, "Happiness communicated doubles itself, but grief grows greater by concealing." Happiness communicated doubles itself. And Mary is going to go and share in this happiness that Elizabeth has in carrying this child. Now, if I were to be a fly on the wall after service today and buzz around and see what people are talking about, what would I hear? What would you talk about with one another? What do you talk about? We talk about all sorts of things, don't we? We talk about our jobs. We talk about our children. We talk about the weather. We talk about sports. We talk about a million other things. But how much do you talk about God and what he is doing? How much do you talk about what God is doing and has done in your life? See, we communicate about things that really don't matter. I'm not saying that those conversations are wrong, but I think we need, as the people of God, to communicate with one another about the great and glorious things that God is doing. We need to encourage one another. I think the default is we only share when things are going wrong. Other than that, it's, I'm doing fine. Oh, I need prayer because this is going wrong. And so we start to have this picture that the only time we're hearing anything is it's negative news. But Mary is coming here to share with Elizabeth and rejoice in what God has done in her life. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and that certainly means that we are to help each other grow in our knowledge of the Lord. But also, what happens when metal rubs against metal? Doesn't it get warm? And so when we, as believers, are called to speak to one another, we're called to do so in order that our hearts might be warmed in seeing what God has done in us and in others. Because just because things are going well for you and God is blessing you, you don't know what the other person is facing. They might need to hear of God's work in your life so that they can be encouraged in their own. Now notice though, Mary enters, and as soon as she arrives, things start happening. Why? Is it because of Mary? No. It's because of who Mary brought with her. It's all centered around the Lord Jesus. It's His presence that brings everything into picture. And we see first that this presence is recognized by who? By John, a six-month-old in the womb. Not a six-month-old out of the womb, a six-month-old in the womb. John, we're told, leaps in the womb of Elizabeth when the greeting of Mary is given. Now, there's a great debate today as to whether babies in the womb can feel, how much they can feel, what kind of processing they can do. But here we see that certainly this baby was able to respond, leaping in her womb. And we'll see in a minute what Elizabeth tells us and why Elizabeth tells us that happened. It'd be interesting if we could hook up a computer, have technology, that we could see exactly what was going on. What's this child thinking? What's this child doing? But we don't have that. But here we do have God's Word that gives us some insight into what was going on. And we're told that he leaped in the womb. This word translated leaped is the same word that in the Greek version of the Old Testament, Genesis 25, 22 through 26 is translated. This is when the twins, Jacob and Esau, are in and they're struggling together in the womb. Same word. This isn't a struggle, though. But this is definitely movement that is noticeable, isn't it? But why does he do it? Because he hears the greeting of Mary, and in Mary is the Lord Jesus. It's almost as if we have a womb-to-womb response going on here. Okay? But John is starting even now from the womb to fulfill what was spoken of him by Gabriel. Think about this. If you flip over a page, and I call this a prenatal prophecy, because that's kind of what it is. If you look at Luke 1, verse 15, what does it say about John? This is Gabriel speaking to Zacharias. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And here we see clearly that is the case. But also, verse 17, he will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So you can picture John the Baptist is ready, isn't he? He's being prepared even in the womb to do this. And Elizabeth, in verse 44, gives greater insight by the Holy Spirit as to what is going on. She says, indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb. Why? For joy. So he leaps because he recognized he was with Jesus, and he leaps with joy because he is in the presence of Jesus. Now, this wouldn't have been the first time that Elizabeth felt this baby move. She's 6 months along. There would have been other movement. But there's something extraordinary about this. The Spirit reveals that to her. And again, I think that we see when we recognize this joy, we also see another prophecy given by Gabriel to Zacharias in Luke 1, verse 14. What does he tell Zacharias? You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Here, John himself in the womb is already having joy, even recognizing that Jesus is there. And so I was preparing for this. I thought of Psalm 16, 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. You see, there is joy at the Lord Jesus' first coming, and there'll be joy at his second coming. Hymn we often sing, Joy to the World, at Christmas time is truly a hymn about his second coming, although we should have joy at both times. But look with me at Psalm 98. Psalm 98 in verses 8 and 9. This is this joy. Psalm 98 in verses 8 and 9. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. The world and those who dwell in it, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Now that's a joyful statement for believers, because we know that in Christ we've already been judged and been declared innocent. That's a scary thought for an unbeliever, because that's not going to be joyful when God comes to judge wickedness. Now, what does John's leap of joy in the womb imply about babies in the womb? About preborn children? I think that, while not directly teaching this, I think it does have implications for us today. And I would also then invite you to look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 in verses 13 and 14. A psalm of David. And what does David say in verse 13 and verse 14 of Psalm 139? He says, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So when we think about passages like that, we look at what John is doing here in the womb, leaping for joy. How can we not grieve over the great sin of abortion in our day? This decision that just came down from New York to allow abortions up to birth is horrendous, wicked, should be opposed in every way. Think about that. Those babies in the womb are not leaping for joy. They're cringing out of fear for what is going to happen to them. That's what's going on. We have to be real and serious about this. We have to understand that God will judge wickedness. He will not allow this to continue. He will judge even our nation. And we see here clearly that there's joy, though, that can be experienced in the womb. These are people and ought to be treated as such. Well, John, though, leaps for joy in the womb, and Elizabeth then expresses by the Spirit. She almost then has the spirit of prophecy as she comes out and expresses to Mary, this is what it means. This is why he leapt, and this is what the Lord says about you, Mary. So we see not only the presence of Jesus arrives with Mary and is recognized by John, but is revealed to Elizabeth by the Holy Spirit. We see that, don't we? It's revealed to her. Now, some commentators would say Mary's greeting included an update on her status. Hey, Elizabeth, how are you doing? Guess what? I'm pregnant as well. I don't think that's the case. The word translated greeting here simply has a common greeting that would be given. Hello, how are you doing? That kind of thing. No, Elizabeth received this information supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. That's why we're told in verse 41 that she herself was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke in a loud voice. See the connection there. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was given the spirit of prophecy, and then she spoke, and she speaks with a loud voice. Now, I don't know about you, but if you get excited about something, do you get louder sometimes? You really want to tell somebody something? Well, here she is excited because she now knows that the Lord Jesus has been conceived. And so that tells us there, as she's going to say, blessed is the fruit of your womb, that Mary at this time has already conceived the Lord Jesus. So she comes and she, notice what she doesn't say though. Now remember, Elizabeth has been barren for all of these years. She's now old in age and God has rightly blessed her with this child, with John. But she doesn't come to Mary, and now that she gets this information and she knows that Mary also is pregnant, she doesn't come and say, well, that's great, Mary. I'm really glad that you're blessed. I know I've waited my whole life for a child, and now it's in my old age, but you get it right away. You're younger, you can take care of this child. I'm older. She doesn't respond in that way, does she? She doesn't even look at herself. But she responds by blessing Mary. Now, we often don't respond that way, do we? When we see someone else blessed, sometimes we can sinfully respond. We can say, well, I'm glad they have that, but what about me? I think I deserve that. I should have been in that position. Well, you see, the mistake there is thinking that we deserve anything, right? Because we don't deserve anything. So we ought not to envy. She doesn't envy Mary. She understands that this is a blessing. And it's revealed as a great blessing. In fact, three times here, she says, blessed are, blessed is, blessed is. She says, blessed are you, Mary, among women. The Greek translated here, among women, means blessed are you. It's a superlative. Blessed are you, highest among women. Why? Was it because something in Mary? No. It was because of the blessing that had been given to her, the great honor by God that she would carry the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation of the world. So again, to be blessed is more than to be happy. We have to distinguish that. Happiness has to do with feelings. Blessedness has to do with your condition. Let me repeat that. Happiness has to do with your feelings. Blessedness with your condition. So whether or not you feel happy, when you by faith understand the condition that you have, peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have joy in any situation. Because your happiness is not based on what's going on around you. Nothing can faze you. Because your joy is rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed means to be favored by God. Your circumstances are going to change, but your relationship with God never will. That's your rock. It says you're blessed among women, and then blessed is the fruit of your womb. Again, here she's saying, I recognize that God has already blessed you with this child, and he will be a blessing to all the world. You know, God's blessing was particularly on the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. We're told over and over again, I'm not going to turn to the passages and read them, but we're told God speaking from heaven, this is my well-beloved Son. At his baptism, at his transfiguration. And so here, Elizabeth recognizes that. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Her confession is as is to who he is. She says, why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And here she says, why do I deserve this? Who am I that I should have this great privilege of even being in the presence of the Lord, even in the womb? She humbles herself there. And it's interesting, this is very close to what her son, John the Baptist, will say. If you look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus is coming from Galilee to John in the Jordan to be baptized. And in verse 14, John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?" That's what Elizabeth says. "You're coming to me? How did I receive this great blessing?" And she makes this confession of faith: "Mother of my Lord." Those words, "my Lord," are significant. She is identifying the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the one who is to come. David makes this confession in Psalm 110, verse 1. He says, "The Lord said to my Lord." This is like Peter's confession. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Paul teaches this, 1 Corinthians in 12, verse 3. He says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And so she says, Jesus is Lord here. She confesses that by the Spirit. What a great blessing this is. Blessed is Mary. Blessed is the fruit of her womb. She says, "I'm blessed that I even get to partake in this visit." But here is where it gets really good for us. Because listen to what she says in verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her by the Lord." Now, she doesn't say, "Blessed are you who believe," but she generalizes this. "Blessed is she who believed." In other words, blessed are all who are going to believe in what God is doing here. The blessing is not simply for Mary. The blessing is not simply for Elizabeth. But the blessing is for all who, like Mary, will believe in him. The word in verse 45 translated "blessed" is different than the word that is translated "blessed" in verse 42. It's the same word that Jesus uses in the Beatitudes. "Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are those." So we might say this is the first beatitude, the first blessing in the gospel. And it's much like the last blessing recorded in the gospels in John and chapter 20. A familiar scene to us, it's when Thomas is speaking with Jesus. He's doubted. And listen to the words that Jesus speaks, 20 and verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Why? Because there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. A fulfillment of everything that Gabriel had announced to Mary. What did Gabriel announce to Mary? Well, we see that verses 31 through 35, just on the same page. "Behold, you will conceive a son in your womb and bring forth Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And it's already begun because Jesus has been conceived. So this blessing is revealed as a certain promise to all who will believe. And that includes those of us here who believe. We're included in this blessing. So as Luke is recounting what happened here, he's coming right off of these visits that Gabriel has made, both to Zacharias and to Mary. And he's detailing Mary's travels, Mary's journey to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's now in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And she travels there to share in this joy with her. But it's Elizabeth and John who receive the joy from Mary's visit, isn't it? Why? It's because of who comes with Mary. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why John recognizes and leaps with joy. That's why Elizabeth, with prophetic words, reveals the blessing that is going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now bring this into context for us. We see how John responded even from the womb with joy. We see how Elizabeth responded by the Spirit working in her, recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important to understand, but what's really important right now for you is how do you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you respond to Him? Do you recognize Him? Do you have joy because of His presence in your life? Is that what the Spirit is working in you? Are you responding like Mary with faith, trusting that God can and will do what He promises to do? Read a great quote, "Better 1,000 times be rich in faith than rich in gold. Gold will be worthless in the unseen world to which we are all traveling." We talked at the beginning about what we get excited about. We can get excited about a lot of things, and it's not a bad thing. But the problem is when our excitement is focused on the things of this world and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all of the things of this world, they're going away. But the Lord Jesus Christ is that constant. And it's His presence in our lives that matters, not everything else. So I want you to think about this. How you respond to Jesus determines whether you have the greatest joy or the greatest sorrow. How you respond to Jesus determines. Do you know Him as your Lord? Do you know Him? Are you rejoicing every day that He is present with you? That is the greatest joy. Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that we often seek fulfillment in various things, and help us to know that those are fleeting pleasures. They can maybe bring a temporary excitement, but they do not bring lasting joy. Draw our hearts closer to You, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and whose presence is the fullness of joy, and help us to rejoice. Not that we have earthly goods, but that our treasure is in heaven, that we are known by You and by Your Spirit know You. That is my prayer for everyone who hears Your word. Now we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.